Hello everybody, and welcome. We recorded our heartbeat earlier in the week, but since then, I really would like to encourage you to pray for Ukraine. The Pope has announced a special day where he is going to consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It's going to occur on Friday, March the 25th, during the celebration of penance, at which he will preside at 5 p.m. at St. Peter's Basilica. He will consecrate Russia and Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. On the same day, at the same time, in Fatima, His Eminence Cardinal Kardiavsky, an envoy of the Holy Father, will do the same. And so it is a wonderful time where we can pray, petition, almsgiving and fasting to our God for peace in Ukraine and peace between Ukraine and Russia. And that Mother Mary, who loves us so much, will turn to her Son, who is merciful, and ask him to come and miraculously fix this. So I want to encourage you to pray on this particular day, but pray all this week. And I hope you enjoy the heartbeat. Today on Heartbeat, I'd like to talk about penance. Like a bit of a weird word. What does it really mean? Now, you have a dictionary definition which says penance is the punishment inflicted on oneself as an outward expression of repentance for wrongdoing. The punishment I inflict upon myself for some wrongdoing. But if you look at the world, there is a, I guess, in the judgment system, when you've done wrong, you may not necessarily inflict punishment upon yourself, but a judge, a police officer, a parent, a teacher says, hey, you've done wrong, so therefore you're responsible for what you've done. You need to do such and such. Some people go to jail. Some people have to do special works, attached to communities to show good behaviour. Some people get a fine. And, you know, in a way, I guess penance is, and this is my definition, is after saying sorry to God for whatever you've done wrong, whatever you felt like wasn't the right way of living, the right choice of language, the right choice of treating somebody well, properly, the correct way, the kingdom way, the kingdom of God's way, that I want to do something to show God my heart, that my heart wants to be changed, that my heart is desiring to fix up what sometimes I can't fix up because, you know, you gossip about somebody. I can't take back the gossip because it's already gone and it's affected the person that you've gossiped about and it's been spread. But there might be something I can do in my sorrow with penance to really say to God, I'm sorry. Sometimes you do penance to the other person to really show them, I'm sorry for what I've done. Now, Pope Clement XIII in 1759 said that penance demands that we satisfy divine justice by fasting, almsgiving and prayer and other works of the spiritual. Almsgiving, fasting and prayer. And it's a different type of prayer. So I'm just going to go share with you a little bit on each to help you understand what penance, what way of saying to God, I'm sorry for my sinful nature and my sins or my wrongdoings that I've reflected upon while I'm doing Lent. And it doesn't have to just be at Lent, but this is a season when we do this. And it might just help you in your prayer, in your relationship with your God. Almsgiving. Almsgiving is giving generally monetary means or clothes off our back to others in need. And it's like a special occasion. I remember when there was a lot of drought and the farmers didn't have food for their cattle. I remember buying a big bale of hay to help the farmers. Yes, I can send money, but this way the money actually bought what the farmers needed for the cows, so that the cows could stay alive, so that the farmers could down the track get what they need. Now, sometimes if you don't have cattle, then but what about if there's a drought and people don't have the crops, but maybe I can put the money into a fund where the farmers then don't have to worry about buying their everyday food that they need. I know they're not getting, say the monetary work value from the crops, but at least they can feed themselves and their families. There's been floods, even around the world, earthquakes, where we put our money in at special times, not special fun times, special times in need where we give to others. Then we have fasting and prayer. Now, if you go to chapter 6 of Matthew's Gospel, the whole chapter is pretty much on, first bit goes almsgiving, the second is prayer, and the second part, or the in the middle part, is fasting. And then it goes on to other things that Jesus is trying to share with us, with the people of God. And the first part of the almsgiving basically says, give away, but don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. That's a bit weird. Then in the prayer, it says, whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites and stand up so everyone can see that you're praying and petitioning to God. Do it quietly in a private room. And when you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites and basically tell everyone that person's fasting. No, put oil on your head, make yourself look fresh and young and great and, alive, and no one will know that you're actually fasting from food. Why does Jesus do this? Because he wants you to do your penance, to do your retribution of, or what you have to give, what you feel like you need to give back to say, I'm really, truly sorry, privately. Because if you do it and others see, you're already getting a reward from them when they say, well done, oh, look at you, oh, you're amazing. There's your reward already. But if you do it privately, God rewards you. And he can reward you on many different ways. So I encourage you to actually read this chapter. But what I want to talk on is that when we fast, especially when we pray more, and it's a certain type of prayer, we do not want to do it that because we're becoming physically weak, or we want to lose weight as the in-health thing to do right now is because people have realized fasting is good for your body, health-wise even at different times, intermittent fasting, maybe not a full fast. No. Why do we fast? Because we want to create a hunger, a spiritual void that only Christ can fill. Fasting was an ancient practice years gone by in the Old Testament, and that's where Jesus often, why he brought up these examples. In the Old Testament, in the fasting, you put on a sackcloth, was like an itchy fabric, itchy. When I think of sackcloth, I think of big wheat bags where the wheat is collected, and if it's so hairy and itchy and uncomfortable, and people in the olden times used to put that on. They used to put ashes on their head, and all who saw them knew they were fasting. They would pray
out in the synagogue, whoa, la, 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 woe is me, I need God, you know, to make everyone look at them. God doesn't desire that. He wants us to see really what internal changes in our heart are we performing. He looks at our heart. He doesn't look at the outside. Now, the outside is often, we demonstrate what our heart is like. So it has been an ancient practice for a long time. But this fasting is to develop a spiritual strength within us that only God can bring. It helps us to fight off temptation because God gives us the strength to do that. It tells our God that we mean what we say. We want to hunger after him. We are so sorry. We need you, Lord. We can't do this on our own. And during Lent is a season where we're encouraged to fast, to tell our God that he's important to us. So I will go without food. I will have the gnawing hunger pains within us, my stomach. And every time it happens, I'm reminded, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. We're encouraged to fast on Ash Wednesday, the Fridays of Lent, because Friday was the day when Jesus died, Good Friday, to really, really focus, especially on these times, to giving up. Now, some people, because of dietary problems, can't give up. Diabetics need the sugar or the proper balance. So you cannot fast as much as somebody else. But you can fast in other ways. Maybe you could skip one meal. Maybe. I don't know. It depends what you are as a diabetic. Maybe you could deny yourself desserts. Maybe you could skip salt on your food. Maybe you can fast from drinking soft drink, even diet soft drink. Maybe you could fast from having any alcohol at all. Maybe you can fast from not eating in between meals. Maybe you can fast other than just food. Fast from multimedia. From, you know, on your Facebook every second of every moment of every spare time that you have. On TikTok. On Instagram, whatever it is that you are giving to God and saying, Lord, I'm giving this up. I'm fasting from this for you, O God, because I desire to say, I'm truly sorry. You can say, well, you know, I do say everyday sins. I do gossip. I do lie sometimes. I do cheat sometimes. I do, you know, not think well of my fellow man. I am impatient. But in saying to God, I desire to follow the way you have taught me to live. You know, all our sins put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't just the murderers. It wasn't just the adulterers. All of our sins put Jesus on the cross. Now, he has saved us from the original sin of separation from God. But on a daily basis, we need to come to the Lord and claim that all the time. Lord, forgive me, for I need your saving power in my life. I need your resurrected power in my life, in my impatience, in the way I treat people, in the way I judge people, in the way I gossip, whatever areas it could be. Fasting is biblical. It is a way to humble ourselves in the sight of God. King David said in Psalm 69:10, I humbled my soul with fasting. Maybe we could fast our time and sit before the Blessed Sacrament in that time. It's not our time, we're giving the time to God. And that's where in prayer we can intercede to the Father for ourselves, but intercede for others. Intercessory prayer is so important. So important. I love this from St. Thomas Aquinas. He put intercessory prayer like this. We pray not that we may change the divine decree, but that we may impetrate, which means to obtain by request or entreaty that which God has decreed to be fulfilled by our prayers. What does that mean? We pray not because our prayers may change the divine's mind. We pray because our Father knew we would be praying and entreating to him. Remember, he knows all things. He knows the future. He knows our present. He knows the past. So we pray because he has decreed that our prayers, our entreaties, our pleading to him, our knocking on the door would change his mind or will fulfill what he decrees by our prayers. Wow! Wow! What a privilege! What a favor bestowed on us! It's not for us to tell God what to do, to decree his divine will, but he has asked us to participate in his will, in his decree. What happens when we don't pray? When we don't intercede for people, when we don't intercede for nations, for people who are in conflict, at war? What happens when we don't pray? If you don't cooperate with God and intercede when called, then the graces that should have come, maybe they're blocked, maybe they're stopped, maybe God goes, I'm not giving them now. Mary, whenever she appears on the earth, apparitions, everything is turn back to God and do penance, pray. Turn back to God, do penance and pray. Because our prayers are important. Our prayers can turn the hands of God. Our fasting and our prayers not only say to the Lord, I need you. I hunger after you. I desire you. I desire to live with the king, within the kingdom's rules, the kingdom of God. But also we can have an effect upon what the world does, what people do. We can say to the Lord, Lord, forgive us as a nation, for we have not done right. We can stand in for people. God is amazing and he desires us to participate. Fasting demonstrates the depth of our desire when praying for something. It shows you, not only you, it shows God that you are serious enough about your prayer request to make a personal sacrifice, a personal price. God honors deep desire and praying in faith. In seeking him, we place of less importance our daily routines. We place of less importance of ourselves. We say, God, you are what I desire. You are who I want to put first within my life. And you keep wanting to put him back in the center of your life. So doing penance, it's not a bad thing. It's not a sad thing. It's actually a glorious, rejoicing, wonderful thing because we're saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. And then when we go to the Father and we have the ability here to go to a priest or a pastor and ask for forgiveness, and ask for the grace to live better, to live the way God wants us to live. So penance isn't a bad word. It's a wonderful, glorious word to explain what we can do, our part at least. If God's done the absolute, total, because we could never get up to him. He is so holy. By Jesus dying on the cross for us, he has allowed us that relationship, full and complete and joyous. So I encourage you, go do some penance, something that tells God, you are important to me. And it can be different for every person. The church gives you some guidelines, helps us with ideas. You can do that and more. Whatever God puts on your heart, whatever you feel you need to do. Because our God, yes, he is judge, but he is merciful. He is love. And he desires that relationship with us. So let us pray and ask our God to help us. Dear loving Father, we ask you to help us as we try and do penance, as we try and show you our need for you, our love for you, our desire for you. Please grace us with your strength and your courage and your ability into me, into us, so that we can follow you deeper. We can love you more. We can surrender ourselves more to you. And we thank you that you have given these ways to us, not in a bad way, but in a wonderful, glorious, uniting way, so that we can come closer to you and we can live in the way that you desire us to live. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.